graves into gardens. Our scriptural affirmation today comes from 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I will speak the first, and then you can speak the bold. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria.
Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered.
Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezin, and the children of Eden which were in Thelasar?
Where is the king of Canaan, and the king of Arpad, and the king of city of Serapim, of Hannah and Iva?
And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth.
Lord, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God.
Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield.
By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord.
For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake.
We are so glad, Lord, that you will defend us. We are so glad that you will keep us. We are so glad that you are with us. We are so glad that today you are here, and we are glad that you are here. We want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to hear from you so that we might know how to live in the midst of this crazy generation. Lord, help us. Speak to us. Show us your goodness and grace, because you alone are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When we are with you, so much is available to us. We are so grateful. We are so amazed. We are so in awe of who you are. Help me, give me the energy, give us the energy to arise and be with Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this day. Lead us and guide us. Speak clearly, surely to us. Speak to us in a way that we make everything in that song visible to the whole world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is such an absolute, because there are times when we feel, even though we've tried to do our best, even though we've tried to act as wisely as we know how to act, though we've done all that we've known how to do, it's not right. you ever just like, I did it right. I did everything that I could think of. And I wasn't trying to be at odds with God, but somehow I get to this place. It's still just not right. Okay. That's the place that Hezekiah found himself in. Hezekiah, it's great reviews from the author of Hezekiah is a good man. Hezekiah is a good king. Hezekiah is really trying to do great things. When he took office, I think he was in his mid-20s, and he was just on fire for God. He cleared out all of the idols. He just tried really hard to get the people to follow after the Lord. And of course, as long as he was watching, they were following along with God. But they never seemed to get there. But in spite of all of the stuff Hezekiah did, he was still having trouble with Assyria. He rebelled against being under a foreign government. He rebelled against that, and because he rebelled against that, he was about to be attacked again, and he tried to buy them off, and they looked at it and took the money and still decided that they were going to attack. So here he is. He's having this challenging time, even though he tried to do all of the things. And that brings us to the 19th chapter of 2 Kings. And we're going to start. Well, we're not going to start where I said we were going to start, Mary. We're going to start at verse 6. Start at verse 6. I want to go back a little bit because in the midst of all of this craziness, the man of God stands up and speaks. The man of God is helping Hezekiah to have some backbone in all of this situation. And he does. And Isaiah said unto him, thus shall ye say to your master. Now who's he talking to? He's talking to the king, and he says, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. They have said they are going to come and attack, and you can't, don't you believe that God is going to deliver you? Don't you believe anything like that? But Isaiah says, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Sometimes listen to the voices from the world around you, and they tell you, God's not going to deliver you this time. They tell you, this time, you're not getting out of this. You're done for. But God makes a promise to Hezekiah, and he says, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tiraka, the king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, so he hears this rumor, he's got to go deal with it, he's taking his armies out of there, but on the way out, this is what he says. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trusted deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered unto the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? He said, look, do you think really, dude, that you are going to be the exception? Do you think you're the one that's not going to be able to be destroyed by my great army? I'm telling you, you're in trouble. And if you don't listen to me, I'm going to destroy you. Do you think you're better than everybody else? People will accuse you of that when you're a Christian. People will accuse you of thinking that you somehow have a get out of whatever free card. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were at Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? And the king of the city of Sepharvaim, and Henna, and Iva. Don't you know your history? Haven't you seen what's happened? So sometimes it's like that for us. Haven't we seen what happened? Haven't we seen the destruction that has come? Haven't we seen that? He was being challenged. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, can we stop here and note something? He took the situation to God. He said, this is the situation. We need to deal with this situation, God. There's something going on in my life that you need to handle. You know, the problem, the reason he is here in this position now is that in the past, he decided he was just going to handle the problem. He sold off some stuff and tried to bribe them, so he was going to handle it. It did not work out. Some of you have really had real honest-to-goodness problems, and so you gathered all your ingenuity, and you're a pretty smart cookie, so you gathered all your ingenuity, and you tried to handle it, and the problem just seemed to get worse. Things just seemed to go from bad to worse. And it did not look good. You were unable to handle the problem. So Hezekiah takes the situation, the letter. He reads it, thinks about it, and takes it to God, to the house of the Lord, and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel. He identified who he was praying to. He wanted to make sure that God knew that he knew who he was. He's the God of Israel. He's the one who dwelleth between the cherubims. You're the king. He was thinking of the most holy place, and there God had promised to show his presence, to be there, and between the cherubims, you are the king. Thou art the God, even thou alone. There's nobody else like you. When you pray to God, Do you recognize that he is the only one? Do you recognize that he is the God? Do you recognize he's the God that has all power? And he's praying this back to him. He's praying the truth of the word of God back to the God of the word. Sometimes we need to recognize we need to pray the word of God back to God. He said, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are king over everything. The God that I serve is the king over all. There is nothing above him. There is nothing he has to bow to. There is nothing that he has to consider before he makes his decision. He is God all by himself. In fact, thou hast made the heaven and earth. You made it. It's yours. We recognize that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You've created it all. So after he's shown him that he understands who he is, he's got a correct theology of who he is. He's got a correct understanding of who this wonderful God is. He can pray with confidence. He has faith that he can pray. He says, Lord, I need to ask you something. Would you bow down thine ear? In other words, would you listen to me? I mean, you are the king. You're over everything. It's only by your grace that I'm not consumed. It's only by your mercy that I can live. I need you to listen to me. He says, bow down thine ear and hear. Listen to me. Have you ever felt that if God doesn't hear you, you're messed up. You can't make it. You don't get any further. You won't survive. You need God. You need him. Maybe it's not personal enough for you, but for me, there are times when I just need him. There are so many things in my life that I cannot solve on my own. Serving God is ego crushing. You think you're something, but you find that there's thing after thing after thing after thing that you can't get done without him. There's thing after thing after thing that I cannot do. Bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. So many times in Scripture, someone will say, the Lord sees me. Aren't you glad that he sees you? Aren't you glad that he's with you? Aren't you glad that he acknowledges you? One of the best gifts that you can give to someone is that you see them. So many people go through life feeling invisible. They go through life feeling like they've been dropped into a pond and they didn't even make a ripple. And now they're drowning in their circumstances and nobody is there to see them. Nobody is there to rescue them. There's nobody there that will help them. Nobody sees them. But your God, if you will allow, he sees you. He's there. Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib. I want you to hear the situation that I am in. Sometimes you wonder, does God even know what's going on with me? Does he even grasp my situation? Doesn't he understand how close to the edge I am? Doesn't he understand how I feel in this situation, the things that they've said about me and the things that they've said to me? Doesn't he know about the financial challenges that I face? Doesn't he know about the stuff of my life? Doesn't he know it hurts? And yet, even when I can say it hurts, I'm so past feeling that I feel dull to it all. Doesn't he know? Hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. This situation that I'm in, the world is thumbing its nose at you. The world is saying that you can't save me. The world is saying that some kind of things out there are stronger than you are. They're trying to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. That's real. This is a real situation. This is a problematic thing that's going on. It's real, and I'm not dealing with unreality here. I'm not in a fantasy world. Stuff has happened. I know that he has cast their gods into the fire. But I also know they weren't any gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. That stuff happened to those out there, not because they were like me. I know better. I'm not worshiping that stuff. I am worshiping the living God. Who are you worshiping today? Who are you worshiping today? You see, you need the faith to be able to go on. Are you worshiping the living God? Are you worshiping the creator of all the earth? Are you worshiping the one who has made you? Are you worshiping the true God? They were destroyed because they were worshiping other stuff. Verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee. I'm begging you, Lord. I'm coming to you with an impassioned plea. Lord, save thou us out of his hand. Save us. But I'm not just asking you to save us so that we can feel good about being saved. I'm not just asking you to save us so that we can feel good about our position and that we're not destroyed. I'm not just asking you to save us to show that we're something special. No, that's not why I'm asking you to do this. Although I enjoy all of those benefits, I enjoy the benefit of your salvation, but that's not why I'm doing this. I want you to save us that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Have you gotten to the place that you have the attitude that you want God to do good to you, not because you're so good, not because you're so needy, not because of anything else other than the simple fact that you want the whole world to see he's worth it. He's good. We should follow him because he's God and there's none other like him. Do you want him to save you so that your neighbors can see that, man, if he can save her, he can do everything for me. Do you want the people on your job to see that our God is great? Do you want people to believe that we have a God who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, dead, and buried? The third day he rose again. He was resurrected. He came up out of the grave, made alive, resurrected, so that we, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we can have the wonder, the amazing thing of being saved, so that throughout eternity we can live in joy, walk in peace, and experience the love of God as we have faith in him, because he is and he's good to us. Do you want the world to see that? Do you want the world to have that? Do you want that to be done? Because then you are living obedience. Go about the business of making disciples that make disciples who can make disciples, so that the whole world is changed. They're changed because the glory of the Lord is spread over the whole earth. Do you want to be changed for his glory? Do you want to be changed for his glory? Skip down to verse 32, I believe. By the way, when I'm preaching these texts, you should read it all and then read it again and read it again. It'll enrich your life. But today we're going down to verse 32. Therefore saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. Neat things about this particular passage is that it parallels some ancient history that they actually have records for. And they were, it shows that the king was getting ready to attack. He was just getting ready to build his city. He was just getting ready to do all this stuff when he heard a rumor. And he heard this rumor and it made him go back, and he had to deal with it, and he had decided on the way out that he would send this letter, and this letter to be read aloud, that was saying that God couldn't keep Hezekiah. He sent this letter, but when it turned out, he couldn't do it. Why? Because verse 34, for I will defend this city to save it. Now, why does he save it? This is important. For mine own sake. God's doing this because, well, like you said, I want to glorify my name. He's saving it for his sake. He's saving it because he wants to be glorified. He's saving it to show that he is the only God. He's saving it for his own sake. But, and for my servant David's sake. And typologies talking about David. David is fulfilled in Christ. He's doing it so that we might know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That we might see that we should follow him. That we might see that we need to be a part of his family. That we might see and understand how good God really is. He's doing it for the Father's sake, but he is doing it for the Son by the power of the Spirit. He's doing it for us. He's doing it for us. He's doing it for us. He's doing it for David's sake. He's doing it for us. Today, will you recognize? Will you acknowledge? Will you learn that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is calling to you in the midst of your challenges? I know that you have tried to solve some things in your own strength, and it did not work out. All of us have tried to do some stuff in our own strength. All of us tried to do some things in our own way. And if we tell the truth, it didn't work out. But God said, I get that. Don't get stuck there. You can still spread the problem out before me. You can still come to me. All ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly. He's calling to you right now. Render yourself afresh to him. And allow him to show that he is God. Would you bow your head with me? You might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, I am grateful that you allowed Jesus to go to the cross to pay for my sin. And because of that, all of my sin, all of my shortcomings, all of my failures, all of the stuff that was at odds with you has been paid for. Your wrath has been satisfied. And now I can live in you. I believe Jesus is Lord, the one who's in charge, and Savior, the one who has delivered me. I thank you for delivering. Help me not forget and to live in a way that the whole world will see that you are God. Thank you for changing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar's open to you if you want to pray for anything. Love to pray with you. don't leave here without letting God have his way.